Amen, congregation. Once again, I invite you to turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll go ahead and read one more time verses 15 through 21. Our focus this evening will be on Paul's exhortation to the church and saying, giving thanks always for all things. That will be our focus this evening, but for context, we'll again read the entire passage there, verse 15 through 21, Ephesians chapter 5. Here once again, the word of the Lord. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand that we will understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And once again, may God add a blessing to the reading of His Word, and now to the preaching of His Word. Well, again, greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to our Wednesday night service, our Lord willing first of many services in which we can give thanks to the Lord. Really every service, whether it be a prayer meeting, a worship service, whether it be a time of fellowship with brothers and sisters, is certainly a time of thanksgiving. And while much of the world gathers this week to give thanks, we know Thanksgiving is a holiday that is pretty much observed by most people, especially those in our nation. The idea of giving thanks is not a secular idea. It's not a worldly idea. It's not an idea that belongs to the world. It's actually a biblical idea, a biblical concept, and it's one that we see in the scriptures as necessary. It is necessary for man to give thanks to God. We are called to give thanks, and those in Christ have every reason to give thanks, whether it be this evening, tomorrow evening, or a week from now. But in our meditation this evening, I'd like for us all to consider the example here in Scripture set forth by the Apostle Paul as he tells the church in Ephesus to be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in their hearts unto the Lord. And then he says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Giving thanks always for all things. In this meditation, I'd like for you all to consider two things, namely, what we are to give thanks for and who we are to give thanks to. First, what we are to give thanks for. The apostle tells the church in Ephesus that they are to be giving thanks for all things. This makes sense when you think of some historical background for a moment and you read really how the church in Ephesus got started. The Ephesians were a group of believers that were blessed by the Lord in so many ways. The church in Ephesus, or really the churches in Ephesus, were blessed by the Lord in ways that most churches don't see until 5, 10, 15 years down the line, after that fruit starts to really flourish by the grace of God. This is a church that had a very expedient route with regards to the grace of God. They started as a group of disciples trained by the beloved Apostle Paul. You can see Acts 19. We're not going to go there because we'll just get stuck there. But if you have a second, turn to Acts 19 in your own time and look at this. First, the church in Ephesus were a group of men started and trained by the Apostle Paul himself. He laid the groundwork for this church in a lot of ways, and more proper to say the Lord used him to lay the groundwork. Not only were they trained, but like I said, the Apostle Paul helped build this church. This was a church that the apostle began from day one in terms of his ministry. This is a church that got to see a lot of miracles in their time. God performed many miracles, cured the sick, freed those who were demon-possessed. Again, in Acts 19, verse 11, the Word of God says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even aprons and handkerchiefs that had been touched were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. This was the kind of blessing the church in Ephesus was exposed to immediately in their very early state. And it didn't stop there. It didn't stop with the foundation. It continued. As we know, the apostle's writing to this church, and in the first chapter, he mentioned some very good things about them. They were a church that had great faith. Seasoned believers probably won't do this as much, but new believers, when they're reading through Paul's letters, they may hold their breath because they don't know what to expect. If you're reading 1 Corinthians, for example, you may get the idea that Paul is just angry all the time, and that's how he is, and that's how he's writing. But then you read something like Ephesians or Philippians, where there's much joy in the apostle based on the relationship. And the church in Ephesus was a church that brought great joy to the apostle Paul, because they were a church that had great faith in Christ. Another reason to be thankful. Another reason to be thankful. They had great unity. This is a key theme in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, unity. He continues to exhort them unto Christ-like, Christ-centered, Christ-strengthened unity, which is something that they already have. So he's really telling the church to build on that which God has already given you. Much to be thankful for with unity. And then lastly, there were a church that were loved by the Apostle Paul. They had a particular love from one of God's apostles at that time. Much to be thankful for. These were some of the things that these are some of the reasons they were to be thankful. These were some of the reasons the apostle exhorted them unto thankfulness. But ultimately, the greatest reason for them to be thankful was that they were made alive in Christ. They had every reason to be thankful unto the Lord for their salvation. This should be the first reason that we all give thanks this evening. We must remember, congregation, that we were all created to glorify God and enjoy His creation. That was God's intended purpose for mankind. But the truth is, we know that sin prevents us from doing that. Sin prevents us from glorifying God. It prevents us from enjoying His creation. It blinds us from the good things that He has given us. Prevents us from being able to do that which we ought to. As the scriptures teach, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Man was made perfect, but now, since sin has entered the world and caused havoc and destruction, we are looking at a standard that we can never achieve because of sin. This is the problem for us. Because this standard of righteousness is precisely what God requires in order to enter His presence. We immediately see a problem, and that problem is our sin and God's holiness. Jesus says this very clear in one of his greatest sermons. He says, "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Lord Jesus Christ reveals to us God's standard, and that standard is perfection. This is the standard, and we are far from it. But the good news is that even though man sinned in the garden and lost what we all need, God provided the salvation man needs in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Adam had given us the curse of his sin, and even our best efforts, therefore, fall short. Nothing we do can earn God's favor. We need someone to reverse the effects of Adam and bring us to God pure and undefiled. God gives us precisely this in Jesus Christ, the righteous, the one who offers free without price, glorious grace. And the salvation that we have is found solely in Him. And therefore, that salvation that we have that is of infinite value would therefore require infinite thanks. We don't have infinite thanks to give to God. But we must strive to do so. We must strive to thank Him for His righteousness that He gives us, that allows us to enter into the presence of God. We must thank Him for the mercy that He offers us, that He offers sinners even today. We thank Him for eternal life, as this is precisely what we all strive and look forward to, the day in which we get to meet God face to face. We thank the Lord that Jesus Christ tasted death for us, that today we can stand before one another and stand before the Lord and know that death, though it is our enemy, is that time in which we cease to be alive on this earth and with Him in glory. And then lastly, we thank Him for saving us from the punishment of hell. The very punishment that all those outside of Christ will receive on the day of judgment, the just punishment due unto sin. We thank God for saving us from this punishment. So this is what we first and foremost are to be thankful for. If you cannot say you are thankful for these things, my question to you this evening is, why not? Do you believe yourself to be a good person without sin? Well, what does the Bible say about that? Do you not believe that you need mercy or grace extended to you? What does the Bible say about that? How do you avoid this judgment to come? Well, the Bible teaches that you need to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from your sin and trust in Christ. He is worth being thankful for, my friend. And certainly there is more to give thanks. More than the miracle of regeneration, that is the first thing we ought to give thanks for this evening. There's going to be plenty of food. Some of you might be funny this evening. Those are things that we can be thankful for. But first and foremost, we give thanks for our salvation in Christ. But there's so much more to be thankful for. That's like the greatest thing to be thankful for. But then there are other great things. We think of the miracle of creation. Certainly when the apostle says, be thankful for all things, he's not just talking about salvation in Christ. I think he literally means all things here. We think of creation. The 8th Psalm tells us why we should be thankful for creation. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? The psalmist meditates on God's creation in relation to God and is absolutely floored. We ought to be thankful to God for His creation just on the basis of its majesty. Just on the basis that His creation reflects His goodness and His love for us. We ought to be thankful for creation itself. And then we think even further. This psalm makes very clear that man has a role in creation. Continue reading. He says, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor, and have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. There's so much to say here. The author of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul, will quote this concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's much to say in that regard. But specifically with regards to the dominion of man, the psalmist here makes it known that there is a special place in creation when it comes to man. And God has created all things with that in mind. In other words, we are to be thankful for our role specifically in creation and how we get to enjoy God's creation in a particular manner. And that is all a part of God's plan. It wasn't by mistake that we get to enjoy all the delicacies of different kinds of foods and things like that. Or have the ability to have all of our senses and all those things. Or even to have thumbs. It's not by chance that's the case. It's how, precisely how God created us to be, and He's to be praised accordingly. And then when we think of creation and we get down to the microscopic details and start talking about being thankful for things like thumbs and the good food that we have, that brings us to yet another thing that we ought to be thankful for, that surely the apostle is exhorting the church to be thankful for, namely the providence of God. We are thankful for our salvation in Christ, certainly, that allows us to really see all these things through the eyes of faith. We're able to be thankful for creation and all its glory. And then we're able to see God's handiwork by way of His providence. I mean, that's something, congregation, that we ought to really give thanks for this evening. His good providence. I mean, look how He has provided for us. In the church in Ephesus, we think of the Apostle Paul writing the Word of God, the church in Ephesus. They needed this Word. Like, you know, we hear that today just kind of thrown around. Oh, Pastor, I need a Word, or give me a good Word. The church in Ephesus needed, they depended on this Word. This was the Word of life to them, just as like it's the Word of life to us. In God's providence, they received His Word. They received it from the apostle that loved them. This isn't something new when we think about it, because God always supplies and gives freely according to His will. And for us, that is a good thing. It's good because He cares for us, the church, in a specific way. If there's anything that you leave with tonight, hopefully it's that the Lord cares for you in a different manner, a special manner, a good way. And this evening is just another example of this. I mean, I think about this often, how the church has been blessed over the last several months. And I believe the Lord deserves to be praised because of His good providence to this church. So I want to bring a couple of those things just to your attention this evening. We think of how the Lord has continued to bless the Sabbath days here at Sentinella Baptist Church. In His providence, He has given us many good Sabbaths, whether it be Pastor Barcelos coming to bring us the Word, or having a missionary that we've loved and cared for many years give us a missionary report. Those are very sweet Sabbaths that the Lord has really blessed us with. So we praise Him for His providence in that regard. The Lord has continued to sustain struggling families in this congregation. This is a good time, as it's very timely, it's fitting to bring this up a Wednesday night where we usually discuss prayer meetings. Many of you have discussed your personal prayer requests with regards to your finances or particular worries, and the Lord time and time again has answered those prayers. That's His providence. He's continued to grow our new families. Some families, when I first got here, had less kids than they have now. That's more kids than they have now, not less. Sorry, that wouldn't be good. More kids than they have now. That's a blessing. God continues to grow our families. He continues to give wisdom to our leadership here at CVC. I don't want to make this about me, so I'll just shed some light in our diaconate. The Lord has strengthened and matured and grown our diaconate. It's been a good thing to see. It's been a blessing. That's His good providence. He continues to provide for the church that way. He's added to our number. I always like to brag about that one. The Lord has continued to add to our number. Some of the saints that have been added to this church have been saved through the ministry of this church of recent. That's a big deal for us. That shows that the Spirit of God is at work in our church. That's God's providence. We praise Him for that. He strengthened our relationships with other churches in our association, both local and national. I believe the Lord continues to strengthen relationships between Sentinella and SCARB and CVA, and that's in His good providence. So we praise Him for that. And lastly, this evening shows us that, again, we have been given by the grace of God a nice church and these properties to be thankful for. We're continuing to work on them. And that's been a blessing, but we have a building to meet in this Wednesday night to give thanks and go upstairs and enjoy the facilities that God has given us. That's all in His good providence, His providing hand, His special love to you. We have every reason to give thanks to God just on these things. So may we give thanks to Him this evening. And the next question, I think, is how we ought to do that. And that's not something that we need to go in depth on this evening. I think we know how to do that. Prayer. We give the Lord thanks by praying to Him, which brings us to our second point. Who are we to give thanks to? We give thanks to God for all things. Certainly this goes without saying for the people of God. As we know, all good things are from Him. They are from His hand. Therefore, He deserves to be thanks. The people of God are not going to argue that the Lord deserves to be thanked. The people of God will tell you that we don't thank Him like we ought to. We don't thank Him enough. But there's no question there. God is the one we are to thank. But here, the apostle gets a bit more specific, as he's known to do. He gets more specific to the church in Ephesus. He says, we are to give thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to give thanks to the Father. He is the one whom we are to give our petitions to. It is proper to give thanks to the Father, as the Father is the one whom creation is attributed to. He is the one that gives us the Son. He is the one whose hand provides all things. We pray to the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ shows us this by example in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. This is His response to the disciples when they asked Him, how do we pray? And they asked Him this question because at this time, there are many approaches to prayer. You had people praying on the street corners, praying in synagogues, praying to themselves, praying with others. The apostles, disciples were confused. Well, what do we do? Teacher, rabbi. And He shows them this prayer. And He starts it with our Father, Jehovah, our covenant God, the one that has redeemed us. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is by His grace that we are children, that we can cry out, Abba, Father. This approach also is a reminder of our submission to Him. In this model, Jesus shows us the need for our submission, our humility before God in the confession, our Father. It shows forth a need and dependence on Him. Lastly, as we approach God as our Father, it is an ongoing reminder, a constant reminder to us that we have received the Spirit of adoption. That we have a Father now to call on. That we are able to access Him and go to Him. And know, as the psalmist says, that He will turn a gracious ear towards us and hear our supplications. Yet how would we know that to be true? through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Again, as a reminder of our Sabbath school lesson last Lord's Day, we think of the benefits of justification. Christ was raised for our justification. Well, what are one of those benefits that is of great significance to our sermon this evening? We have access to God. The Lord Jesus provides access to the Father for us by His Spirit. So therefore, He is the one that we are to go to and give thanks unto. We are able to give thanks to the Father. We are able to go to the Father. We are able to call Him our Father because of the Son and the Spirit. This is why the Apostle says, through the Son. The Son has given us access to the Father, and now, with cheerful hearts, we come to Him by faith, giving thanks. May the Spirit of God give us thankful hearts this evening, congregation. Let's go ahead and pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before You, giving You thanks for our salvation in Christ. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ taking upon Himself our sin, canceling it on the cross, that we can have thankful hearts and come to You with gratitude, singing Your praises, thanking You for Your good works, salvation, of redemption, and of providence. Lord, bless our time this evening. Bless the food that we have upstairs. We thank You for all the hands that have came together this evening to make our time together possible. We thank You again that we have a facility to even gather together this evening and worship and really give You thanks that You deserve, Lord. Be with us this evening. Be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and sing a closing hymn, and then I'll give us our benediction.
Let's go ahead and stand as we sing our final hymn. Hymn number 400. Then Samuel called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." That's 1 Samuel 7, verse 12. We will sing all three verses in the Amen after I have set the tune. Come thou fount of every blessing. Come thou fount of every blessing. To my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. He the mount I'm fixed upon it, Mount of God's unchanging love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed His precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that
Saints, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.